Good to see you today. Why don't you get your outline out so you can follow along with today's message? I know I see some of the ladies coming back from the women's retreat, which I've heard some great things about, even just so far. The story is told of a wife and mom who went into Jimmy's bedroom to wake him up for school. "Jimmy, you're late for school. Get out of that bed." Jimmy groans, "I'm not going to school. Everyone hates me there. The teachers can't stand me. The kids make fun of me, and even the janitor has it in for me." But Jimmy, she says, "you've got to go to school. You're the principal." It's an old story, right? When I was a kid, I hated school with a passion. I had severe asthma, which caused me to miss lots of school. And as I fell behind in my studies, I felt isolated, which only fueled my hatred for school. I learned soon every trick in the book for getting out of school, how to fake sick, how to get excused early to go home, and my specialty, how to skip classes without getting caught. When I fell further behind in my studies, I realized I was either going to sink or I had to learn the fine art of cheating, which I perfected to a science. Looking back nowadays, I often laugh out loud, thinking how shocked my old teachers would be to see me now as an egghead bookworm geek who has spent 19 years of his life post-graduation from high school pursuing higher education, 19 years, 11 of which were part-time, and it wasn't like I was flunking the same class over and over again. But a bachelor's degree, a four-year full-time master's degree, and two earned doctorates, I'm telling you, folks, it is proof for the existence of God. It really is. What could turn a school hater like me around into a school addict? If someone would pay me to go to school, somebody offered me a job doing that, I would be sorely tempted to take the position. I have heard from God. Well, why do I tell you all this? I tell you because today is part two of our series, Why Church? And I'm about to try to convince you that church is a school, and you need this school. You want this school. And I know that can be a hard sell, because I know some of you may be school haters yourself. I've graduated. I did my time. I paid my debt to society. School, been there, done that. Bought the t-shirt. I'm through. And now you're telling me that church is a school and I've got to attend every week for the rest of my life? Yuck! I know what it's like to hate school and feel uninterested and uninspired and as dumb as a sack of hammers. I know what it's like. But this is not what you hate. Take it from a guy who's been there. This is different. Last Sunday, we learned that church is a family. And that's a very precious truth. Everything we talk about today builds on what we learned last time. You need the family that Jesus founded. Well, today we see that church is a school. It's a home school, you might say. Why church? Well, the answer is wrapped up in our main answer. And if you're taking notes, you'll want to write it down. It's on your outline, a blank there to write it in. Nothing short of a church education will do. That's why church. Because you need a church education. Today, we're going to look at three reasons for choosing a church education. The first is point number one on your outline. Jesus founded the church to teach you. The Son of God visited this planet as a teacher. He founded a school to teach you, about God and salvation and all sorts of other neat stuff. And the school that he founded is the church. Do you know that more than anything else, Jesus was known during his earthly ministry as a teacher? He was called that more than anything else. 48 times in the Gospels, Jesus is called a teacher. And 38 times we're told that he was teaching people. We see Matthew in chapter 4, verse 23, summarizing what Jesus' ministry was about. Look at it and help me out when we come to the yellow print. It says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. So when Jesus traveled from town to town, he provided two things, education and health care. Jesus didn't travel around with a guitar and a band singing in the synagogues and the streets. Nor did he set up a homeless shelter or a counseling center or a disaster relief center. No, we're told he taught. Now, of course, all of those things are important. But they all flow out of his teaching, out of his school. What did Jesus call his followers? Disciples, precisely. Disciples. That's very important. The word disciple, or disciples, plural, is used nearly 300 times for Jesus' followers in the Gospels and in the book of Acts. Nearly 300 times. This is your number one title. A disciple, the Greek word is mathetes, is a learner, a pupil, a student, an apprentice, we might say. That's Jesus' key title for you. You are a student of Jesus, and your school is the church. When Jesus gave the Great Commission, notice how he worded it. Look at Matthew 28, beginning at verse 19. Jesus says, therefore go and make disciples of all, make learners, make students of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. This is Jesus' prime directive for the church. After he had been raised from the dead, make students, make pupils. Once you've converted people to Jesus, then what do you do with them? Well, according to this text, you baptize them. Baptism is the initiation, or we might call it, for today's emphasis, the enrollment, the registration into the school of discipleship that Jesus founded. Now, after you baptize them, after they've been enrolled, then what do you do with them? You teach them. You teach them to obey everything he commanded you. Obey everything he commanded you. Not just know what it is, not just understand it, but obey it. You say, well, that could take a lifetime. Guess what? It does. It's called the Christian life. What's cool here is that everything in the Christian life is summed up under teaching. Everything that happens in Christian ministry here is summed up into teaching. Learning how to praise and worship. Did you know that that is included here? Making disciples, growing them. How to love your neighbor. How to be a good husband, good wife, children. How to care for the needy. All of that very important stuff that the church does is under the umbrella. It's included in the curriculum of teaching. Now, the early church took this very seriously. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. The apostles' teaching, it's listed first here because all the other stuff was driven by that teaching that flowed from them, and they, of course, got from Jesus, and today is included in what we call the New Testament. This is why teaching features so prominently here at Stony Creek Church, teaching the Bible. The church is a family. We learned that last week. And this family is a home school for us students. All of our children's classes and youth classes emphasize learning the Bible and applying it to life, learning to obey Jesus' teachings. We take choosing the curriculum very seriously because we want it to be what Jesus taught. Yes, of course, we want it to be creative and fun and engaging for the kids and teens so that they'll want to learn and they'll want to bring their friends. But the content of the teaching must be biblical from A to Z. The kids are brought through the entire Bible through their course of training here at Stony Creek, Genesis through Revelation. They're also taught how to defend the Christian faith when they encounter skeptics and other viewpoints. When it's age appropriate, they learn about relationships, they learn about dating and sexuality, but it's all taught from a biblical viewpoint. And of course, in conjunction with their parents. This is why, parents, it's important to have your kids and your teens in their classes as they go through these subjects. If they miss a month or two, they may miss a crucial unit in the study of these things. Here at our 11 o'clock service, in addition to praising God, as we just finished doing a few moments ago, and song, in addition to serving, in addition to fellowshipping before and after the services, in addition to giving, we dig into God's Word. We highly value this. We don't believe in sermonettes here at Stony or just Bible teaching light that may just, you know, tell a bunch of stories and sprinkle a Bible verse or two on top. That's not what we're about here. We dig into the Word. Our goal at this service, the 11 o'clock service, is to cut the meat into bite-sized pieces. So that if you bring a friend who knows nothing about the Bible or Christianity, it's not going to be over his head, so he can't understand it. Like there's, you know, we're speaking a different language or something. No, our goal here is to teach the Bible for Christians, but in an accessible way, so that even the newcomer or the seeker can be drawn in, drawn to Christ, can hear the gospel. Now at our 9:30 teaching service, we dig in deeper. It's more casual, more interactive, sort of like a classroom setting. There's time for Q&A. We study through the books of the Bible. Right now we're studying through the book of Genesis, chapter by chapter. But the goal is still life application. The goal is still learning to obey what the Lord Jesus has taught to us. And if you miss a 9:30 or an 11 o'clock teaching, you can access it on our website, the podcast. Just click on sermon for the 11 o'clock service, or teaching for the 9:30, and you'll find our recent postings. Our teaching at both services is not just, you know, humorous stories or moving stories, you know, with the Bible squeezed in somewhere. Our goal is to teach the Bible clearly, compassionately, creatively, so that you go away not just with information, but with motivation, inspiration to apply it. And folks, we are not going to water down the word or tough subjects like hell or sexual morality. Those things are not going to be avoided. We're going to shoot straight on this stuff. The goal is to speak the truth in love. People often say, I've heard it said, and this is not to down anybody else or any other churches, but people often say they learn more here in one Sunday than in their previous church in the space of a year. Now, I know there are many good churches teaching the Word, but some churches are not teaching the Word, or they're just teaching it very lightly and very selectively. Our small groups study the Bible usually in a home setting where you can discuss the topic and pray for each other and fellowship with each other and help each other through the tough times and the challenges. We constantly urge you also to teach yourself, to feed yourself on the Word of God, so that you learn to study the Bible on your own, day by day, reading at your own pace. We provide a read through the Bible program for you each beginning of each year, so that you can walk through it at a comfortable pace. And we're always available to help you with questions and encourage you to read and to study the Word of God. Jesus founded the church to teach you. Let's look at a second reason for choosing a church education. Point number two on your outline. And that is, Jesus himself chooses the faculty at this school. A school can have the best curriculum available. All kinds of great equipment, the best buildings, facilities, computers, classrooms, ball fields. But if the teachers are lacking, if they're shoddy, your education is going to suffer. It's going to stink. You know, you can put up with substandard facilities, but substandard teachers, forget it. That's why Jesus' school, the church, he himself chooses the teaching faculty. This we see in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 11. Notice what it says here. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. Let's read together. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This is an amazing passage. You've got apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. They are all gifts, it says, given to the church by none other than Jesus Christ himself. This is amazing. You see variety here. But notice that each of these roles in this particular passage about gifts, each of these roles is involved in teaching in one way or another. Let's look at this church faculty. First of all, you've got apostles and prophets. They have provided the foundational teaching for the church. It's encapsulated in written form here in the New Testament. And of course, it's helping to explain the Old Testament, which was given through the Old Testament prophets. And then you have evangelists. What do? But teach the good news to the unsaved. That's their role. Next, it says pastors and teachers. What do? But shepherd and teach the church. Jesus has given these gifts to his church, his school. Why? What's the purpose of these gifts? Well, again, let's look at verse 12. You just read it a few moments ago. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Notice it doesn't say that these gifts, these people, do the work themselves. It says that they equip God's people to do the work. This is one major reason why you come to church, whether you knew it or not. To get equipped. Equipped to do the work. Look at it again, carefully. The role of the church, the role of the leader, the role of the teacher is to equip you for God's work, so that the church is built up. Some Christians are called to be teachers in the church, either in the children's ministry or the youth ministry or in our small groups ministry or one of our other ministries, or maybe called to be a pastor or a missionary or a Christian school teacher. If this is you, then you are a faculty gift to the church from Jesus. And the rest of us need to pray for you and treasure you and encourage you as a gift from Jesus that has been given to Stony Creek Church. Right now, we're in need of some more teachers in our children's ministry. And in our Awana on Wednesday night, has Jesus gifted you with an ability to teach, but you haven't yet responded to his call? You don't have to be a Bible expert. You say, well, how would I know? Well, let me briefly talk about some signs that Christ may have gifted you to teach in his school. One is curiosity. Curiosity. I can speak from my own experience here. I may not have a lot of brains, but I have a ton of curiosity. And when I became a Christ follower, right in the midst of hating school and all that kind of thing, reading the Bible and listening to sermons and witnessing to non-Christians, that inflamed my curiosity. I'd hear something said by a teacher at church or a pastor, and I'd say, no, wait a minute, what about this? Or I'd be reading my Bible, and it just raises more questions for me. And so to learn, to satisfy my curiosity, I had to dig. I had to begin to study. That was a shock to everybody around me and to me too. Curiosity was played a major role in driving me to go to college and to keep going. A second thing, now maybe that applies to you. Maybe you find that you're really just curious. You want to keep learning. Another thing is passion for passing it on to others. Those Christ has gifted to teach have a passion to pass on what they learn to others, what God has taught them. You love to see the light go on. Through the eyes of the person, the light bulb go on in the head, kind of a thing. If you're a teacher, you know what that feels like, whether it's an adult or a child. And you like to see them, God working in that person to help that person to grow in Christ. Another thing is affirmation from believers. You find that when you talk, lo and behold, people listen. And they tell you that they're helped by what you have to say. If you're a Christ follower and these three signs are in your life, hone your gift here at Stony Creek Church. If you have a passion to work with kids, then talk with Jody Slongo, our children's ministry leader. If you have a passion to work with youth, and talk with Chris Bordeaux, or to lead a small group, get with Andy Barba. You can find all of these on our website if you don't know who these people are. You want to teach with adults, or you think you might be called into full-time ministry or missionary, come talk to me. I love to see that kind of thing happen. Contact us. Jesus chooses the faculty at his church, and he'll be working in your life to show you that. The application here is, first of all, to pray for and encourage teachers here at Stony Creek Church. Do you do that? You tell them, hey, you know, you're really making an impact in the lives of my kids. That's important. Number two, learn from your teachers. Take it seriously. God has gifted them to have input in your life and in the lives of your kids. And third, respond to the call if you've been gifted to teach. Talk to the leader of the ministry you sense a calling to get plugged into. You don't have to be a Bible expert. Just have a hunger for the truth and a passion to pass it on, and you'll learn. You'll learn as you go along. Let's look at a third reason for choosing a church education. Number three, Jesus' interactive curriculum requires a church. You know, someone might be thinking, okay, fine, I agree with this, but do I need a church for all of the above? Sure, I know I need to learn the Bible. I know that I'm a disciple, a student. Yeah, I know that. But I can manage by reading the Bible on my own and listening to gifted pastors and teachers on the radio, or listening to podcasts, or reading good Christian books, perhaps attending a good neighborhood Bible study or a Bible study at your workplace, or by attending a Christian school or a Christian college. I can be a disciple of Jesus and learn from the teachers he's given without plugging in to a local church, can't I? The short answer is no. You can't. Now, don't misunderstand me. All the things that I just mentioned, the podcast and the teaching, you know, and the radio and Bible studies and books, all of that is great stuff, and I would encourage you to make use of it. For crying out loud, I teach at a Christian school part-time. I kind of moonlight at Detroit Bible Institute. And we've had our kids in Christian schools. All of that is helpful, but folks, listen to me, hear me. None of this is a substitute for the local church education that Jesus prescribes for you as his student. How so? Well, the New Testament curriculum is designed specifically with a local church setting in mind as the laboratory, the classroom, you might say. The local church is the place where the curriculum is learned and practiced and honed. Suppose you want to become a weightlifter. All right, what do? You go on YouTube and watch weightlifting, right? Right? Yeah. You check out some library books, right? You could become an expert on weightlifting. But are you a weightlifter? No. How do you become a swimmer? By studying swimming? No, you got to get into the water. You can't be a swimmer. You can learn a lot about it, but you can't be a swimmer without water to swim in. Same thing is true with driving. You could study the driving manual, learn all the rules, pass the written test. But are you a driver if you're not driving? No. The curriculum Christ gives us in the New Testament requires the local church for it to truly be learned. Without the local church, you can gain knowledge, but many parts cannot be lived out the way they were intended without the local church. Let me give you just a couple simple examples. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. We looked at this one last week. It says, share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. You want to obey the law of Christ? The law of Christ, love your neighbor as yourself, so forth. Share each other's burdens. You say, well, I can do that anywhere. I can do that at home. I can do that at school. I can do that at my workplace, in my neighborhood. Yes, yes, you should, of course. But let's not tear the text out of the context. Who's Paul writing to here? People in the local church. Who are the each other here? They are the brothers and sisters in the local church. So if you truly want to obey this command the way Paul originally meant it, we need to share the burdens of our brothers and sisters in our local church. Maybe bringing a meal to a grieving family, as I know many of you do when that sort of thing is needed, or helping with a car repair, or visiting a person in the hospital, and so forth and so on. Doing this for outsiders, yes, that's wonderful and good, and other passages tell us to do that, but that's not the primary application of this text. Let's look at another example. Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. It says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. Now, you could listen to hours of great teaching on these verses. You could learn the Greek words and explore the historical background of what it means to forgive somebody. And what it means to live in peace and unity, and that could be really rich. You could become an expert on this text. You could do a doctoral dissertation on it. But in order to learn it as originally intended, what do you need to do? You need to be there. You need to rub shoulders in a local church with people who have faults. We leave that passage back up there, put that back up. Faults, look at that. Make allowances for each other's faults, okay? The each other is the local church. That's the context. That's the people to whom he's speaking. That's what this is intended for. So you got to find some people in the local church that have faults so you can make allowance for them. You need to rub shoulders with some people that offend you. That's in there too. Forgive anyone who offends you. Okay? People you need to make allowances for and forgive, that's the original context and intent. But in order to learn it as originally intended, what do you need? You need these people. You know, many Christians insist on a church where everyone is super nice. Super nice. No nasties. No hypocrites, right? Wouldn't that be nice? Yes, of course, that's the goal. We want to walk with Christ and learn. But I've never seen it yet. I've been in ministry for 30 years. I've never seen a church that doesn't have some of those people in it. In every church, you have Christians at various stages of growth. Some are mature. Some are sort of mature. Some are very immature. And some aren't even Christians yet. Some are kind of on their way to learning what Christianity is and checking it out. You know what? That's great. That's how it should be. That's like a family. At a family, you have all stages of growth. You might have a child learning how to talk or how to walk, and then the teenager who's learning algebra and stuff like that, and so forth. We're all at different stages. Nothing wrong with that. But according to this text, you need some cantankerous church people so that you can learn this unit about living in peace with them. Folks, this is what church is about. Otherwise, it's like working out with weights that are weightless. Think that's going to do anything for you? How are you going to exercise your forgiveness muscles? Or your patience muscles? Your love muscles if you're not around imperfect people who need forgiving and putting up with? You see, you need the laboratory to do the lab work, and the laboratory is the church. People get offended and they'll leave a church. They look for a church where they'll never get ruffled. Of course, they'll never find that. Or they'll give up and say, yes, churches, they're all the same. They're filled with hypocrites. Filled with hypocrites. Well, I wouldn't say they're filled. There's room for you. And so people like that, they insulate themselves from Christians and churches that might offend them. It's tragic. They run from the weight room and never develop their muscles. Instead, they'll go home and watch a YouTube video on weightlifting. They'll become an expert. They'll think of themselves, I'm an expert on weightlifting because I know all about it. but they're not. They've short-circuited the curriculum. Folks, these are just two examples. There are dozens and dozens of texts like this that require the lab of the local church to learn and apply them. It's a tough curriculum. That's why, sadly, some people drop out. The application here is get plugged in, join the church, pump some iron. Why church? Answer: nothing short of a church education will do. If you're new to Stony Creek Church, I welcome you and encourage you to prayerfully take some time. Don't make a snap decision, but take some time to check us out and to decide if this is the church for you. If you'd like to get plugged in, talk to a ministry leader. If you're interested in becoming a member, take our Exploring Stony Creek Church class. We offer it about twice a year, typically, and it will be offered again in the fall. We're going to close our service in just a moment or so. I'm going to ask the ushers to prepare for the offering and the musicians to come to lead us in the closing, rousing song. Can't wait to see what they've cooked up for us for today. If you're here and you'd like to know how to become a disciple of Jesus, how to enroll in his school, come on down and we'd love to talk with you, tell you what Jesus did for you, how he died for you and rose from the dead, and how you can become a Christ follower. The rest of us, if you got something that you need some prayer for, talk to our pastoral prayer team. They'll be down here in the front. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the school. We need teaching. We all do, Lord. I certainly need it, and I thank you, Lord, that you teach me something every day. Help us, Lord, to teach each other as a family, to love on each other and to learn the lessons you have given to this church family so that we can grow and become mature and help others to do the same thing. Lord, use this offering as an act of worship. We pray that we would give it to you out of hearts that are devoted to you. We pray your blessing on it in Jesus' name. Amen.